The Russian President Vladimir Putin calls for closer cooperation between his country and North Korea. Palestinians in the occupied West Bank carry out a new rocket attack on Israeli settlements in response to the regime atrocities. Plus, the former U.S. President Donald Trump is indicted for the fourth time since March, this time over efforts to interfere in the 2020 election. This is news. Thanks for joining us. The Russian president has called for closer cooperation with North Korea. Vladimir Putin issued the call in a message to congratulate North Korean leader Kim Jong-un on the country's National Liberation Day. In the message, Putin said such cooperation will help boost stability and security on the Korean Peninsula and in the Northeast Asian region. Last month, Russia's defense minister also traveled to Pyongyang in the first such visit since the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991. He conveyed Putin's message to the North Korean leader. The message reportedly praised the solidarity of the countries for a multipolar world and the policy toward the collective West in a swipe at the Korean Peninsula tensions and Moscow's tensions with Western governments over the war in Ukraine. Independent researcher and author Greg Simmons was with us and shared his thoughts on how Russia's growing ties with North Korea poses a challenge to the U.S.
What you have had is the U.S.-led unipolar Western-centric order getting its way every time and has been trying to contain and control those countries which do not submit to its whims. I mean, Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea is another one. And so this is a geostrategy, which is a logical one, because the US is overstretched. And now it's got another problem. I mean, I'm surprised that it took this long for Russia to start to cultivate these closer ties with North Korea and other such countries.
At least 33 people have been killed in an explosion ensuing fire at a petrol station in the capital of Russia's Republic of Dagestan. Dozens more have also been injured in the incident. The exact cause of the blast remains unknown. The government of Dagestan has visited the site of the explosion with around 260 emergency workers deployed. The deadly incident has also sparked condolences from President Vladimir Putin. The Republic of Dagestan is one of 83 constituent parts of the Russian Federation and is the southernmost part of the country. Time now for the news review of this bulletin. A Palestinian resistance group has launched yet another rocket attack on an Israeli settlement in response to growing Israeli violence in the occupied territories. The Ayash resistance group says it has targeted an Israeli settlement west of the occupied West Bank city of Jenin with Qassam rocket. In recent months, Palestinian resistance groups have stepped up such attacks in retaliation for the regime's atrocities. The attack came after Israeli forces killed two more young Palestinians early on Tuesday. Israeli forces shot dead the Palestinians during a raid on a refugee camp near the city of Ariha or Jericho. They stormed the camp with dozens of armored vehicles and heavy gunfire. Israeli forces carry out attacks against Palestinians in the occupied territories almost on a daily basis. The regime has killed more than 200 Palestinians since the start of the year. Moti Abu Musab, a Palestinian political activist, joins us from Gaza City. We also have Said Mohsen Abbas, journalist and political commentator, who joins us from London. Welcome to you both. Moti Abu Musab, I'll start first with you. The Gaza Strip obviously has its resistance groups that retaliate when Israel wages wars on them, and also when Palestinians are being targeted. You have them shooting rockets over at Israel. But now you're looking at the West Bank, where you have these resistance coming from the refugee camps, for example. How dangerous is that for Israel?
Yes, first of all, thanks for having me. I think this is an important issue that we need to shed more light on it. From my point of view, I do believe that this presents another concrete evidence that the Israeli occupation forces face a situation of fiasco regarding handling and containing the escalating Palestinian resistance, especially in the West Bank. And despite all this kind of the Israeli brutality continued and practiced against the Palestinian people, today the Palestinian resistance became more eager and more resilient to face the ongoing and the escalating Israeli crimes, taking into consideration that the Israeli occupation forces claimed their aims when they attacked Jenin camp, that they were going to eradicate and to finish the Palestinian resistance groups in the West Bank and Jenin camp. But today, the Palestinian resistance proves once again that it's more resilient and it's eager to develop its abilities and to confront the Israeli escalating crimes perpetrated against the Palestinian people. This is on one hand. On the other hand, it conveys a clear message that nothing would prevent the Palestinian people and the Palestinian resistance from developing its abilities and its capabilities in order to deter the Israeli occupation and to confront the Israeli occupation. It's worth mentioning that since the beginning of this year, the Israeli occupation forces have been murdered and killed more than 227 Palestinians. Out of them, 183 Palestinians from the West Bank. This clearly indicates that the Palestinian resistance rises and grows in front of the rise and increase of the Israeli crimes against the Palestinian people. And I think that the Israeli occupation nowadays actually got the message, the clear message that that Israel has nothing to do with the escalating Palestinian resistance. And as you know, because the Palestinian people have nothing to do, have no choice but to keep resisting the Israeli occupation. And we have no choice but to face these ongoing Israeli crimes and atrocities committed against the Palestinian people with all means and tools available.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Mohsen Abbas, when you take a look at what's happening here, I'm sure that as we're seeing this unfold, that these the resistance that's coming out of these, for example, refugee camps, one that's been cited, seems like quite often, is the one in Tulkarm, actually, where these armed Palestinian resistance groups are retaliating. But one way or another, they're going to get their hands on not only arms, but maybe more sophisticated weapons and rockets, perhaps. And I think this is Israel's worst nightmare that's unfolding, because you have that now, and you also have from the Gaza Strip, and you also have resistance from, around you, like from coming from Lebanon. Is Israel even capable of handling multi-pronged offensive were it to happen?
I think it's increasingly showing that it's inept at handling even the internal, if you like, resistance, let alone external resistance when it actually joins the struggle, which is an inevitability if Israel doesn't give justice and fairness to the Palestinian people and it relinquish its kind of its illegal occupation. So there are a couple of factors that you've touched on which are really important to emphasize. First is that the Palestinian resistance has the capability of making unguided artillery rockets. They have small arms in abundance. They're able to make rocket-propelled grenades internally within the Palestinian territories, and they're also able to make anti-tank missiles. This is known. They, of course, have the Nasser 3 and 4 missile system and plenty of others. You mentioned the possibility of, perhaps in the future, drone capability. There could be the possibility of more technologically precise precision missile, including the kind that are ballistic. Now, all of those things are very much on the horizon. Israel knows it. They're desperately now clinging to a disintegrating situation internally with the split amongst Israelis, knowing that they no longer have that level of ascendancy. The split you see in terms of the extremist violent settlers and those settler colonialists who continue to land grab and who are now also an integral part of the Zionist government. Netanyahu plays to the tune of those violent settler colonialists who are actually taking over even what little land they've left for the Palestinians. And of course, what they're getting in response is really important. This is the second major point. In response to all this, What you've got is the rise of the likes of Kataib Jenin, which is a new model. It's not based necessarily on the old ideological and hierarchical kind of lines that existed. These are smaller franchises almost, which are models of independent operation within their own particular areas. And that's what you're seeing in Jenin. It's also there in the Balata refugee camp in Nablus, from what I've researched, and that's the second largest city of the West Bank. And the fact that this resistance is now pouring into the West Bank and strong local groups are being able to take hold of things means, first of all, Israel can't go to the PA, a collaborator organization like the Palestinian Authority, to say, go in and control Jenin or control the West Bank. They can't. They can't do it anymore. And they'll be even less empowered to do it as time goes on, as these resistance fighters recognize their strength, because they're recognizing it day by day. This attack by the Israeli forces into Jenin camp less than a month ago is if you compare it to, for instance, the Operation Offensive Shield, which they did back in 2002, which did Jenin as well, you can see how cocky and confident the Israelis were going in and trying to control West Bank at that time. Now they are. They had to leave within 2 days. They didn't achieve their objectives, and they really got an absolute answer from the resistance to say they're not going to be cowed no matter what. The resistance also, as you know, has underground tunnels which they're capable of escaping into. And so Israel knows very well that even if they try to go in to occupy the likes of Gaza or Jenin, actually they're going to get a lot of casualties, and there is going to be significant resistance. And the weapons that will come in the near future will meet the odds even more weighed against the Israelis having a free-for-all in occupied Palestine.
Thank you for that, Sami Hossein Abbas, journalist and political commentator. And thank you, Moti Abu Musabab, Palestinian political activist. With that, we come to an end for this edition of the News Review. The UN has denounced a deadly terrorist attack on a shrine in Iran as abhorrent.
The Secretary General strongly condemns the terrorist attack that we saw on the holy site in Shiraz on 13 August yesterday, which is, as you know, the second attack in the last 10 months. Acts targeting religious sites, places of worship, are abhorrent. The Secretary General stresses the need to bring justice to the perpetrators of this crime against civilians exercising their right to practice their religion freely. The Secretary General conveys his deepest condolences to the bereaved families and the people of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and he wishes a speedy recovery to those injured.
The European Union also condemned the shooting at the Shah Cheragh Shrine in the southern city of Shiraz. The EU spokesman, Peter Stano, says the attack is yet another example of terrorists targeting innocent civilians. Several countries, including Russia, Syria, Qatar, and the UAE, have also slammed the tragic incident that happened on Sunday night. The terrorist attack has so far left 2 people dead and several others injured. One assailant was arrested at the holy site. The shrine was the scene of another terror attack last October, which claimed more than a dozen lives. Our correspondent Mahdi Abbasian is now in the city of Shiraz. He has been present inside of the terror attack there, and he gave us details on how it took place.
This area, the Bab al-Mahdi entrance gate of the Shah Cheragh Holy Shrine. And the area is cordoned off, and we are the first people who have entered this area since Sunday evening when this abhorrent crime, this terrorist attack, took place here in Shiraz. There are some doors behind me. There are two doors. These are the entrance doors, and a big gate behind me, which is the exit gate. The thing about this terror attack is that the attacker entered the Holy Shrine from the exit gate, so the security forces could not search him for having weapons. Then he enters this area and starts shooting people sporadically. There are some bullet holes. Several people were injured in this attack, and unfortunately, one of them was killed instantly here. and another one was seriously injured who succumbed to his wounds last night in the Namazi hospital of the city of Shiraz.
Moving on, former U.S. President Donald Trump is facing another indictment on charges related to the 2020 presidential election. A grand jury in Georgia has indicted Trump and 18 of his allies for their efforts to overturn the election results in the state.
Today, based on information developed by that investigation, a Fulton County grand jury returned a true bill of indictment, charging 19 individuals with violations of Georgia law arising from a criminal conspiracy to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election in this state. The indictment includes 41 felony counts and is 97 pages long. Please remember that everyone charged in this bill of indictment is presumed innocent. Specifically, the indictment brings felony charges against Donald John Trump.
Willis said the indictment alleges that the defendants engaged in a criminal racketeering enterprise to overturn Georgia's election results. She added that the grand jury has issued arrest warrants for those individuals. Willis urged the defendants to voluntarily surrender later than noon on Friday, August 25th. Trump has denounced what he called a rigged indictment. This is the second time this month that the former president is indicted on charges related to the election interference case. In early August, he pleaded not guilty to federal charges during a court hearing in Washington, D.C. Trump is also facing other legal woes, including sexual abuses and his alleged mishandling of classified files. With that, we come to an end for this edition of World News. Thanks for being with us. It's bye-bye for now.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Face to face. Hello and welcome to Face to Face. I'm Marzi Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us today. We have a very special guest, the Secretary General of the Islamic Jihad Resistance Movement, Mr. Ziad Al-Nahda. Stay with us, and we're going to be talking to him during this very special Face to Face. Thank you so much for being with us here at Face to Face. You're visiting Iran for the first time since the apartheid regime's five-day war on Gaza in May, in which the Palestinian resistance once again emerged victorious. How is the mood in the resistance camp today?
First, thank you, and I'm very glad to be with you on your respectable channel. Since the recent aggression against Gaza, which we coined Avenging the Free, I came along with a big delegation from the Islamic Jihad, and part of the delegation are a group who came from the Gaza Strip and had witnessed the Israeli aggression. The atmosphere here is that of welcoming, respect, and appraisal here in the Islamic Republic of Iran, especially since, and it is no secret, that the Islamic Republic stands with the Palestinian people and by the side of the resistance and supports the historic right of the Palestinian people. Therefore, the Islamic Republic, the leadership, and the people have welcomed us, and our visit will continue. We have met several top figures, primarily the leader of the revolution, and we also met the president of the republic and other figures.
Well, you're talking about the Islamic Republic of Iran, and you have talked before about the inspiration that Iran has given Palestinian groups. And we want to look at the situation. How critical is Iran's material and moral support for the Palestinian resistance been all these years?
بدون شك الشعب الفلسطيني منذ طرد من فلسطين
There is no doubt that the Palestinian people, and ever since they were expelled from Palestine, and for more than 100 years they have been resisting the Zionist occupation with all the strength that they have, despite their humble capabilities. The Palestinian people have continued their resistance, and there is no doubt that since the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran, it has declared its open position in support of the Palestinian people and acknowledged the historic injustice against them, and has given assistance since the founding of the Islamic Revolution on all levels. And in essence, the political position of the Islamic Republic originally had always been supportive of the historic rights of the Palestinian people in Palestine. And this was the initiation of all the backing that followed, whether political support or moral support and material support as well, which included all aspects of life for the Palestinian people. Therefore, today we are in this place, and it is my obligation to give gratitude to the people of Iran and the Islamic Revolution and its leaders who stood always by the side of the Palestinian people in various issues. I believe that the political and moral support had a very big role in the position of the Islamic Republic and its support for the Palestinian people, in addition to the support in other issues, including the material and military support. It is very clear today that the Palestinian people and their resistance are supported by a strong shield, which is the Islamic Republic of Iran, in its support and unwavering stance with the oppressed and dispersed people of Palestine, who are under a constant aggression from the Zionist enemy. Today, in the West Bank, as especially, the settlement building is increasing. The residents are being expelled from their own homes, and their houses are being demolished, and their agricultural lands confiscated. Therefore, when the Islamic Republic declares its stance of open support, it stands to lift this great injustice against the Palestinian people. And I believe it is this historic stance which gives strength and high morale to the Palestinian people to continue with their struggle and resistance.
Looking at the Islamic Jihad resistance movement itself, it lost some of its bravest soldiers and warriors during this recent Israeli aggression. But the movement still managed to inflict a crushing defeat on the occupying regime. Can we say that Islamic Jihad is at the peak of its power in terms of its growing military prowess and preparedness?
With time, the Palestinian people are giving their leaders as martyrs, and many fighters throughout this time, since the beginning of the resistance of the Palestinian people. Of course, in every battle, there are casualties, and we lose some of our leaders. And this is only normal in battles and wars and the confrontations which we have to go through, facing the Zionist enemy, which uses all sorts of weapons. Therefore, it is not a surprise to us that some of the leaders of Al-Quds brigades fall as martyrs, or the leaders of the Islamic Jihad or other Palestinian resistance factions and the Palestinian people. This is not surprising, and we always expect that during wars and battles, we will have martyrs, and this is only natural. But also, the resistance has the necessary strength and will and leaders and fighters to the extent that the martyrdom of one leader or more will not impact the movement of a whole resistance, which has a long existence in fighting the Zionist project, and it is always ready and is always on high alert and expects that there would be martyrs. So when our martyrs fall, this gives the movement more motivation for the fighters on the battlefield and a higher morale and greater value for their struggle. Consequently, we do lose them as people, but they also give us a high moral value and a stronger appearance for the resistance. I am confident, and all our people are confident, that the martyrs give us great moral strength even though they're no longer with us and no longer on the battlefield. But it is something to be expected, and as long as it is always expected, we always have more people to take their place, the assistance of the leaders or those who know the operations. Their positions are filled directly, despite the sadness which we have for their loss, which does not break the resistance, and the resistance continues.
لا يكسر المقاومة وتبقى المقاومة مستمرة.
I want to talk about the morale part because you said it's natural to lose the martyrs. Explain to our international audience, what is the motivating factor? What gives you that that energy to continue when you're losing fighters and losing leaders? What is key here?
The Palestinian people have lived a great injustice, and the level of awareness in the minds of the Palestinian people is very good. And since this injustice fell upon the Palestinian people, they were expelled from their land, their homes were confiscated or destroyed, their women and children were killed. This in itself is a big motive for a people who have suffered this oppression, and it is a motive for its sons to have the will to fight and the readiness to defend themselves and their people and their land. We should also know that a long and deep history and a conviction that this land is first for the Palestinian people and second, it is the heritage of our fathers and grandfathers, and with the high value it holds at the level of holiness, that Palestine is the land of religions, and that Al-Quds is the capital of Palestine, and it is under occupation and undergoes continuous Zionist aggression. Therefore, the sum of all these issues gives the Palestinian fighters and the people of Palestine higher motivation to fight and defend their doctrine, their land, and their property. There could be, in some instances, fabrications that there is incitement, but the incitement and provocation are from the continuous Israeli aggression and confiscation of lands. Historic Palestine itself is the land of the Palestinian people. The people of Palestine were expelled from their land and were dispersed all over the world. So the motives for self-defense and fighting are there in the genes of every Palestinian citizen. The Palestinian citizen does not need to be incited to fight. The pretext for fighting is already present with the existence of occupation on the land of Palestine. Palestine is the historic native land of the Palestinian people. And so every Palestinian understands this equation. Therefore, every Palestinian is ready to fight to retrieve their historic homeland. Though Jews who live in Palestine today were brought from all over the world, and they expelled the Palestinian people and put them in their place. Consequently, the motivation for self-defense and for fighting is intact, and the will of the Palestinian people continues. Had any people in the world gone through what the Palestinian people have gone through, they would forget the Palestinian people. However, what the Palestinian people have is a strong conviction of a historic right to their land, and a conviction that this land is linked to the people and their ideology and their heritage and their ancestry. Therefore, the purpose to fight is well alive, and jihad and struggle will continue, and will definitely not stop because the oppression is also in progress. The Israeli injustice and aggression is continuous. Killing does not stop, and so the pretext to continue our revolution and resistance will continue.
The latest war followed the murder of senior Islamic Jihad leader Khadr Adnan, who had become a powerful symbol of the resistance to Israeli regime policy of arbitrary detentions and custodial torture of resistance fighters. Why did the resistance decide to retaliate to his murder by firing rockets from Gaza?
The martyr Khadr Adnan is one of the emblems and leaders of the Islamic Jihad movement. He was the victim of an unjust detainment under the unjust administrative law of arbitrary arrest. and he declared that he would begin a strike to protest his administrative arrest. The Zionist enemy left him in a dark and confined prison cell for more than 2 months or 80 days, approximately 3 months. We believe the enemy planned and killed Adnan purposefully, through which they planned to break the strong morale of which refuses detainment. And hundreds of Palestinian prisoners are subject to the same laws of administrative detainment. We also have thousands of prisoners in Zionist jails who have been given high sentences or a life sentence. We are talking about 5,000 to 6,000 Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails, some of whom have been imprisoned for more than 30 years. Some of them have reached 40 years of detainment. The arrests against Palestinians have not stopped. Martyr Khodr Adnan, who declared a hunger strike to protest his arrest and was killed by the Israeli forces, was one of those prisoners. This is a long path. Martyr Khodr Adnan was not the first to declare a strike during this path of Palestinian resistance. We're talking about a Zionist occupation of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, which has continued since 1967. And now we're in the year 2023. We are talking about approximately 50 years under Israeli occupation. Tens and perhaps hundreds of people have been killed and have fallen martyrs inside Israeli jails under interrogation. Also, we're talking about more than 1,200,000 Palestinians who have been victims of arrest during the last 50 years. Among them, thousands of prisoners who remained in jails for more than 30 years and others remained for tens of years. I personally have undergone imprisonment and spent 15 years in Israeli detainment, and I was released in a prisoner swap. This, had there not been a prisoner swap and Israel was forced to release me, I would have remained until this moment in prison, where I was given a life sentence. Hundreds of prisoners who were with me during imprisonment remain in jail, and some of them have been detained for 40 years. Therefore, the policies of repressiveness and killing inside and outside prison continues, but also so are the operations of the resistance against arrest and for self-defense.
But why did the resistance decide to retaliate specifically for Khodr Adnan's murder by firing rockets into Gaza?
In the media, there is talk of vengeance and retaliation for the killing of Khodr Adnan. Now, first, the martyr was a victim of a great injustice, and we believe he was killed in his own prison cell. Second, the resistance has an obligation towards the Palestinian people and its prisoners. And so the assassination of the martyr, as he went on hunger strike, entailed upon the resistance to retaliate against this Israeli measure, which led to the killing of Khodr Adnan. But it is also a message to the enemy that it cannot single out the prisoners. However, the resistance does not only practice its resistance in retaliation to this incident or that incident. The resistance is a continuous process, and we practice resistance throughout. Our people have not stopped their resistance. There was an aggression against the Jenin camp, and there was a big confrontation, and the Israeli Air Force intervened, and many of its military vehicles, more than 7 military vehicles, were destroyed or damaged, and several Israeli soldiers were injured in this battle. The resistance operations continue and are not linked to the martyrdom of a specific person, although we do give importance to such incidents. We do give importance to the assassination of leaders and act upon this stance, yet the resistance is not linked only to the killing of one person or the martyrdom of one person. The resistance continues, but our priority is for political speech and resistance, and in some cases we give importance to the nature of the retaliation against the inhumane practices of the enemy. But the resistance is in progress throughout this time, in all forms and types, in its path against the occupation, in its clashes with the enemy, in its popular resistance against occupation. All forms of resistance are being practiced by the Palestinian people. But in some cases, one incident is given more significance in order to value that person or the incident.
You talked about Jenin and what happened today. We've seen a lot more aggression from the Zionist regime. Do you think it's because of desperation on their part that we're seeing them become even more aggressive?
The aggression against the West Bank has always been in place, first in the form of settlements and the confiscation of lands, and for the last 2 years it has increased with the existence of a phenomenon of growing extremist leftist activity in the Israeli society, and they have attempted to take hold of more land from the Palestinians and to build more settlements on these lands. Also, there are more clashes, therefore, and resistance is growing. We also need to note that the enemy wants continuously to repress the Palestinian people and to repress their will to defend themselves. And it also wants to confiscate more land to chase some people who it believes to be conducting resistance operations. Therefore, its military campaigns do not stop against the Palestinian camps in the West Bank because they are continually resisting settlement building. We're talking about more than 800,000 settlers throughout the West Bank who have occupied the majority of agricultural fields and the lands of the Palestinian citizens. They take control of more than half of the West Bank. They are confining the towns in their settlement building in efforts to displace its inhabitants. Therefore, the resistance is growing and ripe in such an atmosphere, and it is a strong resistance, and the enemy is also attempting to break the resistance and attempting assassinations inside Palestinian camps and towns, and therefore, there are clashes and confrontations. Today, the confrontation is similar to tens of confrontations which continue. But on this, I can tell you that the enemy has suffered a big number of casualties. When we talk about seven military vehicles in one day and in 1 hour in one clash and the intervention of Israeli Air Force, this is a clear message of strength from the Palestinians, that the Palestinian people have the will and capabilities. Although, yes, we did lose Palestinians who fell martyrs, and there was more than 60 casualties who were under open fire. The fight continues on the fronts of the Palestinian people's defense of themselves and their land, and the Israeli aggression continues. The Zionist enemy's attempt to break the will of the Palestinian people continues and has not stopped. It is not strange to see these clashes. It is actually a daily issue committed by the enemy to launch aggressions against the Palestinian people. And the resistance is also continuing with its daily job of resisting these aggressions against the Palestinian towns. The resistance will not stop as long as the enemy does not stop its aggression. And we are in an open war, and we have no choice but to fight and defend our land. And God willing, our people, with their patience and steadfastness, can expel this occupation from our land. يستطيع أن يطرد هذا الاحتلال
من أراضيه. In the last Gaza war, we saw the resistance movements become more united. I want to talk about that unity and how important that is, that these resistance groups be united and being key to the defeat of the Zionist regime.
نعم. بدون شك نحن كقوة مقاومة فلسطينية.
As Palestinian resistance factions are in our most advantageous position in our unity on the fronts, and even our political unity in specifically Hamas and Islamic Jihad. We are here in Tehran, and our brothers in the leadership of Hamas are here as well. And on this occasion, we held a very important meeting between the leadership of Hamas and the Islamic Jihad, with the presence of our brothers in the Islamic Republic of Iran as supporters. And this is one scene of our unity. A few weeks ago, we were in a big confrontation in the Gaza Strip in the Battle of Avenging the Free, and all the Palestinian people were united behind the Islamic Jihad in a battle which continued for more than 5 days. I can say that the Palestinian people, with every confrontation and aggression, they are stronger and more united because they have one enemy, and unity has become a duty for the Palestinian resistance forces. With all dignity, I say, the Palestinian people and their resistance are closer to each other and more united and more determined to face the occupation.
The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, made the comment that the likelihood of the Zionist entity not seeing its 80th anniversary. I want your comment on that, and also, being that this is the end of the interview, also your comment about, of course, a man who dedicated his life to the liberation of Quds and of the oppressed in general. And, of course, that's Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, and the inspiration that he has given, perhaps, to resistance movements throughout the region.
نعم كان هناك لقاء مع سماحة قائد الثورة الإسلامية السيد علي الخامنئي.
Yes, there was a meeting with His Eminence, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and he was welcoming of the delegation of the Islamic Jihad, and he spoke of the steadfastness of the Palestinian people and the resistance in Palestine, and how he values the resistance of the Palestinian people and the resistance against this aggression and this oppression, and congratulated the Palestinian people and reiterated the stance of the Islamic Republic of Iran, its stance of support of the oppressed people of Palestine, and which is demanding its rights and is defending its holy sites. This is not a new position for His Eminence, the leader of the revolution, who continues to stress the position of the Islamic Republic since its foundation as supportive of the Palestinian resistance. In the same context, the leader spoke, and we spoke at the beginning, about the great leader Haj Qasem, who was with us for long years. He was supportive and giving us backing, and was always present, and always following up on many details in the Palestinian resistance, and is highly respected by the Palestinian people and the resistance. We mentioned that the leader is also highly respected. Also, His Eminence, the leader, highly values the resistance fighters in Iran and Palestine, and primarily Haj Qasem Soleimani, who is loved and respected greatly by the leader. Therefore, any talk about the great leader Haj Qasem is a talk that is always present in our meetings. He was an exemplary man and a leader who gives his own life for the sake of righteousness and for the sake of Palestine and Al-Quds, and therefore he's present and is an example of special leaders in the history of mankind. I believe Haj Qasem is one of the most notable Islamic emblems in modern history in this nation. He held a massive duty in supporting and backing the Palestinian people, and he was not only a leader who was far from the front lines. He lived the life of the fighters and followed up their activities and issues and needs always. He knew them. He knew their leaders one by one, and they all knew him. And therefore, he has left a mark in the hearts of the fighters and the leaders and left an impact. Therefore, in our official meeting with the leaders in the Islamic Republic, primarily the leader of the revolution and all those who support the resistance, Haj Qasem is always present as an example, as he's present with the Palestinian fighters and their leaders and political factions. Haj Qasem is present as an exemplary figure and a great symbol of the resistance in Palestine and the world.
Well,
Mr. Ziad Al-Nakhala, the Secretary General of the Islamic Jihad resistance movement in Palestine. Thank you so much for talking to us. And thank you for being with us on a very special face-to-face. I'm Marzia Hashimi signing out for myself and all the crew right here who brought you this special interview. Thank you so much.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome back, my dear audience, to the series of talks for humanity. I am Hamza Azizi from IRIB English Radio, talking about the international instructions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in His holy book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse in chapter Isra says that وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. When you're walking, do not walk in the earth exultantly, proudly, with pride. Do not walk fancifully. إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ. Certainly, you are not going to tear the earth upon. وَلَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. Do not attain the mountains in height. The verse is very interesting. The points are very remarkable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why do you feel proud of yourself? Why do you walk exultantly? Just look at the earth. Look at the mountain. Are you able to tear the earth upon? Do you have such power? Are you able to be at the same height with the mountain? Just look at the mountain. They are much taller than you. If you look at your body, your physical power, your physical characteristics, you see that there are many other things bigger than you, more powerful than you, taller than you. So why do you feel proud? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the fanciful people, the dreamer people. مُخْتَال is a derivative of khiyal, dream. Have you seen some people? They are in their dreams. Their dreams are, they are very far from their reality. They think that they are very powerful while they are not. But they are living in their dreams. But the person who is humble, the person who has humility, he understands that he is one of the creatures. There are many things in the world. Just look at the world around us. There are thousands of galaxies. In each galaxy, hundreds of thousands of stars and planets. We are living in only one of those millions of planets or stars, a very small planet in a very small galaxy, which is Milky Galaxy. We are in Earth planet. I am only one person within all those human beings that have been born from the very beginning, and I do not know on the day of until the day of judgment how many people and human beings are going to be born. So I am only one of billions of billions of billions of creatures. So why should I feel proud? We will talk about that more after a short break.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, my dear audience, to the series of talks for humanity. This is Hamza Azizi talking with you from IRIB English Radio. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do not feel proud. There is no reason for feeling proud. There is no reason for being fanciful, being a dreamer. In another case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكْ. When walking, be modest. وَغْلُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ. When talking, lower your voice. Do not shout at other people. No, keep moderate. In another case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people who very fast feel happy and very fast feel sad, they are a dreamer. They are dreamer people. لَكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفَرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. You may not grieve for what escapes you, nor exult for what comes your way. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the people who are dreamer, the people who are fanciful, the people who are so proud of themselves. Yes, if I am proud of myself because I am a servant of God, كَفَى بِفَخْرًا أَن تَكُونَ لِرَبَّ. This is a very great honor for me that you, my Lord, is my Lord. كَفَى بِعِزًّا أَن أَكُونَ لَكَ عَبْدًا. This is the most powerful state and situation that I have, that I am your servant. This is good. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is talking about the people who are proud because of their physical, material abilities. I am proud because I have been in the gym. I have a very thick arms. I am very powerful. I can lift very heavy things. I am winner of the sport. I am the first person in my class in university. I know many things that my colleagues do not, and many other things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are going to be proud for these reasons, there are many creatures in the world that even you don't know. In one narration, Allah we have our Ahlul Bayt say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has different universes. Different universes. In one universe, there are thousands of angels that they are only making prostrations, sajda to the Lord. In another universe, there are thousands of the angels that they are only making ruku', bowing for their Lord. Just look at the world, how big it is, how large it is, how comprehensive it is. And just look at us, how small we are in the whole universe. So there's no need, there's no reason for feeling proud of ourselves, except feeling proud because of our Lord and the servitude of God. Thank you very much. Have a good time. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.